Alrighty, kids, can I have your help this morning? Can all the kids want to come down and sit on the mat for me, please? Come on down. Excellent. Hello, girls. How are you today? You're good? Excellent. Excellent. How you going, Dave? You good? Dave, I need a man's help today. So can you give me a hand? All right. Can we grab all these pillows and put them in, just sit them on the mat like we're sitting in a car? Can you do that? Grab the pillows, pretend they're seats. Everyone grab a pillow and sit on it. All right, very good. Which way is the car headed? That way. I'm going to have my back to the rest of the church. How about the car goes that way? So how about we all turn around? All right. Okay, Dave, you got a very important job here. Let's see if the microphone reaches. All right, sorry, girls. Microphone lead going through the car. Okay. Okay, we're in the car. You want to come sit here next to me in the car? There you go. Nice bench seat here in the E.H. Holden. There we go. All right, Dave, can you hold that up for me? All right, a little bit in front of me. I've got to be able to see it. Good man. All right, okay. Are we ready? Are we in the car? All right, what do we got to do first when we get in the car? Put on our seatbelts. All right, everyone put your seatbelts on. I've got to put a special rally driver seatbelt on. Okay, here we go. Now, Dave, what do you think that is? A what? A photo frame. That's 100% correct. Next thing we do in the car, especially this car, is we all put on our imagination hats. Ready? Put our imagination hats on. All right, we got our imagination hats on. You got your imagination hat on, Dave? Now what is that? It's the mirror. Hallelujah. That's a good imagination hat you got there, Dave. All right, so that's the mirror, the rear vision mirror. So in front of me here, what do we have? The windscreen. All right, so you ready? Okay, what else do we do? We got our seatbelts on. What else do we have to do? Start the car? All right, ready? No, okay. All right. Yeah, it's the E-H, yeah. Yeah. All right. Shh. We'll be here all day, folks. Come on, let me get the car started. All right, we got this car started. All right, we're going to take off. All right, you ready? Ready? Oh. Now, when we're driving along in the car, how often should I check the rear vision mirror?
All the time.
You're not in the car. How come you're not in the car? Don't you trust my driving? He's frightened of my driving. You see me on my push bike and say, I'm not getting in the car with that guy. All right. So, yeah, you need to check it all the time. But where should I look most of the time?
At the front.
At the front. Through the windscreen, girls. Do you agree? Through the windscreen. I need to be looking out there where I'm headed, where I'm going, to make sure I don't bump into people. Very good. Don't want to run over people. There's lots of people in front of us. We don't want to drive over any chairs. Or when we get out on the road, we don't want to drive into cars or animals. So we've got to make sure we look out through the main one. Why do I look at the windscreen, the little mirror there for? What's that good for? To look behind me. Why do I want to look behind me? What's important about behind me? Cars coming up behind me and going past me. Very good. Excellent. And I need to be around of know of all my surroundings, don't I? I need to know where I'm going. But I also need to know where I've been and what's happening behind me, especially if a car's travelling too close behind me, okay? What if I was driving along and all I ever did was look in the rear vision mirror? I'd crash. I wouldn't be going moving forward, would I? It wouldn't be a good way to drive. Does your dad drive like that? No? He looks through the windscreen? He doesn't always just concentrate? What about your dad? Does he drive through looking through the windscreen? Yeah? Looks out for everyone around us? Okay. All right, let's turn the car around. Ugh, my knees were dying there. Sorry, guys. All right. Now, here's the tricky bit. This is where it gets a bit tricky. Pretend we're no longer in the car, but we're going through life. Where are we meant to be looking in life? ahead of us. We're meant to be looking forward. Is it good to have, like, in life, a little rear vision mirror to look what's behind us? Sometimes. Here's the question. What did you do yesterday? Can you remember what you did yesterday? What did you do yesterday? Don't know? What did you do yesterday? Oh, you went to the movies and had Chinese food. What movie? Very good, very good. So you did that yesterday. Will you do it again today? No, because you did it yesterday. If you really enjoyed it, did you enjoy the movie? You did. Yeah, that's good. If you didn't enjoy the movie, it's bad luck because it's already happened, hasn't it? And you can't change it. And if you can't say today, oh, I really wish I didn't see that movie yesterday. It was terrible. But it's happened. It's gone. When we're moving forward, next time when Sing 2 comes out, you go, that was a terrible movie. I'm not going to see Sing 2. Or if it was a really good movie, you go, I'm going to see Sing 2. I really enjoyed that movie. It was excellent. So we keep moving forward. Is that right? Got to keep looking where we're going. Not always what's behind. It's good to know what's happened. It's good to reflect on it. But we've got to keep moving forward. Is that a good idea? Just like driving a car. Got to keep looking forward through the windscreen, not looking into that little mirror the whole time. It's not there for us to look at the whole time, just every now and then. Let's pray, shall we? Father God, thank you for these kids. Thank you for their help in that little analogy of driving a car and looking through the windscreen and the rear vision mirror. I pray that you watch over them, be with them, bless them and all that they do. We pray this in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen.
Today's reading is from Philippians chapter 3, verse 10 to 21. The righteousness that I have comes from knowing Christ, the power of his resurrection and the participation in his suffering. It includes being conformed to his death so that I may perhaps reach the goal of the resurrection of the dead. It is not that I have already reached this goal, nor have already been perfected, but I pursue it so that I might grab hold of it because Christ grabbed hold of me for just this purpose. Brothers and sisters, I myself don't think I've reached it, but I do this one thing. I forget about the things behind me and reach out for the things ahead of me. The goal I pursue is the prize of God's upward call in Christ Jesus. So all of us who are spiritually mature should think this way. If anyone thinks differently, God will reveal it to him or her. Only let's live in a way that is consistent with whatever level we have reached. Brothers and sisters, become imitators of me and watch those who live this way. You can use us as models. I have told you many times, and as I now say with deep sadness, many lives live as enemies of the cross. Their lives end in destruction. Their God is their stomach. They take pride in this disgrace because their thoughts focus on earthly things. Our citizenship is in heaven. We look forward to a Saviour that comes from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. He will transform our humble bodies so that we are like his glorious body, by the power that also makes him able to subject all things to himself. May the Lord bless this reading.
Resilient life. How we can live with much more resilience to the things that we face from day to day. And Paul, as we've just seen in this little passage, probably was one of the most resilient of the New Testament characters in his absolute determination to accomplish what God had for him and press on through no matter what the circumstances. And in this little passage, there's a sort of section where he says, you know, and we believe that when he wrote Philippians, it was probably towards the end of his ministry. And so he'd done an awful lot of the stuff that we've already read in Acts and the other books that he's written. It says that not that he's already obtained all of this, all the things that he's aiming towards, already arrived at the goal, but he presses on to take hold of that for which Christ took hold of him. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Last week we talked about the big picture, that often we get sort of so caught up in the today things that are happening, and we lose sight of the big picture, which is that, as he says a little later in this passage, we are citizens of the kingdom of God. And our calling is to live as citizens of God, God's kingdom, according to the rules and principles and ethic of that. And as we do that in our life, then we're going to be accomplishing God's purpose and will around us and in the community that we are part of. And so one of the things we're going to look at today is, in order to do that, we actually have to keep our focus forward and not, as Donnie was talking to the kids, backwards. It's good to look back sometimes, but it's not good to live in the past. And resilient people also move forward free of the weight of the past. Every one of us has got a history. Every one of us has got a backstory, or many of them. And some of them have been very positive. We've grown up in really positive environments, been encouraged, and looked after all the way through, and we've had a really blessed time in that sense. Others have had the worst possible things happen to them, and yet they can still go forward in a positive way. So we're going to be looking at some of the aspects of things that help us to go forward with a positive perspective on life, to learn from the past but not live in it, and even when that's been good, to not get stuck in it, but to go forward. Because there's always stuff that God wants us to keep on to and keep growing into as we go forward. Now, there are certain things that are going to be helpful to us in dealing with that, and we're going to look at a couple of things like forgiveness and repentance, and explore what some of that might mean to us as we go forward without some of the baggage and weight of our past. But the whole emphasis this morning is on looking towards the future without carrying too much weight and baggage of the past, and doing that makes us much more resilient. If every time an event happens and you're going to get tagged into stuff that's happened in the past and it's going to pull you down, weigh you down, undermine you, then you're not going to be resilient. So if we don't deal with that stuff, it's going to undermine us and catch up with us at some time. So a little later in the service, we're going to look into particularly those two things, forgiveness and repentance, in a way that will help us to be more free from our past where we need to be, and to learn to use those things in a positive way for the future rather than negatively hold us back. Thanks, Randall. I wonder if we really believe what we just sang. Do we really believe that? We can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That with Christ, if he calls us to something, if he puts a challenge in front of us, we can do it. It's easy to sing, but do we really believe it? Sometimes the reason we don't believe it is because of what's happened to us in the past. What we've done in the past, what we haven't done in the past, what people have said about us in the past, the things that we've messed up in the past. And so we put limits around what we think we can do. And we squeeze ourselves down and, no, I can't do that, that's not me. Or, you know, I tried that once and it just didn't work. What if God's saying, try it again? What if God's saying, you can do it? I'm asking you to do it. But you're locked in to this thinking about yourself or past experiences that stop you from being willing to say yes to God. It doesn't matter what has happened in your past. God can take you and use you in a new way in the future. I'm amazed at how many times God chooses people in the Bible who had messed up or who were the least of the least, who had no concept that they could be great, and used them in ways that with his strength and his power to do amazing things. He didn't always choose the rich, the wise, and the powerful. And the same in the New Testament. Paul says that in Corinthians. Not many of you are wise and so on in the world's eyes or powerful, but God chooses you. Not necessarily to do things that maybe in the world's eyes seem great and mighty, but maybe in the kingdom of God, the simple things can be very powerful and very transformational in the future of the people around you and in the community that you're part of. So maybe we need to get more a hold of that sense that it is true that with God, when he calls you to something, he will equip you for it. And if you're willing to step out in faith and trust him, then you might see some amazing things happen that go beyond what you could expect from your own personal life and experience. One of the things that would help us to say yes is to deal with the stuff of our past that maybe undermines us and holds us back. This weight that we carry sometimes from guilt, from things that we've done that we've never really put right. Most of us who are here today have come to Jesus in a sense of saying, Lord, I recognize I'm a sinner. I've done things that separate me from you. And we've repented and confessed that generality of our life, lived for self rather than for God, and committed to try and serve and follow him. But the aspect of repentance isn't just a once-only thing. Yes, once-only, that gets us a relationship with God through Jesus. But there's the sense in which it's an ongoing life experience to keep facing up to the stuff that's in our life, whether it's small or big, that is rebellion against God. Sin. The stuff that we do that is not right. And so, if we're going to live free and purposeful lives, we have to keep dealing with the stuff that God points out in our life that's not right. And the word for that is repentance. It comes from a Greek word that was a general word that meant in those days where there were lots of roads and no signs or anything else, people would regularly get lost and then they'd have to ask for directions, find out they were going the wrong way, work their way back to where they got off track and get back on track. And so repentance is a bit like that. That's where the word came from, that sort of sense. We've got off track. We've gone down roads that we shouldn't have gone down, and we've got ourselves lost. We need to get good direction, come back to where we're meant to be, and get back on track. Now, in a sense, some of that is done between you and God. Sometimes some things need to be put right to move forward between you and other people. When we mess up, sometimes it has consequences that we cannot change for the future. But it doesn't mean that there's not things that we can do in the future that just might limit some of those things. Sometimes we're not aware of the stuff we've done in our own self-rationalization. We don't even acknowledge that we've done a wrong thing. Like David and Bathsheba. It wasn't until the prophet Nathan came to him and told him a little story about someone who had stolen a rich and powerful man who'd stolen a lamb of a poor family for a sacrifice, that David gets all irate about this, and then Nathan says, it's you, that he actually realizes what he's done. Sometimes we actually need to hear from someone in a prophetic way, whether from God or just through someone just challenging us, that we are not doing the right thing. None of us like to be told. I can guarantee that. We're Aussies. No one likes to be told that we're not doing the right thing. But sometimes in a community, in a family, being able to sit and talk with someone and actually challenge them about things that are not godly in their life could have a powerful effect of transforming them into facing it, dealing with it, and moving on in a positive way in the future. I think that's something of what Paul refers to when he says about speaking the truth in love. Now, I don't think that's license to go and just tell people all their faults, but I think that if you genuinely, truly love someone, you may want to sometimes encourage them to move on from something, to let go of something, or to deal with something in their life. I don't think that just is something that randomly happens. It happens out of relationship, where you get to know people deeply and trust one another, and that's the best way for that to happen. But dealing with our stuff, repentance, choosing to face the stuff in our life that is not right, and genuinely with God's help, turning around, confessing it, saying we're sorry and meaning that by actually behaving differently, is a really important thing of moving forward. And I think it's a process that goes lifelong. There may be big things in your life that really need to be dealt with, and it's important to deal with those. There may be ongoing areas where you have a weakness, and it's important to deal with that stuff too. Some are big, some are small. The big things sometimes can have a major impact in terms of what we see as possible because of how we know we've failed or are failing. The little things also can undermine us a lot as well and stop us from just being confident in the everyday. So one aspect of being able to live free from the past is to keep short accounts with God. It's to genuinely address the stuff that's not right in your life and not keep putting your head in the sand and pretending it's not there or it doesn't exist. And it will keep catching you up all the time. Now, driving down this morning, I'm thinking about, yep, preaching this message. And I'm thinking, yep, this is a good message to preach. And there's a car in front of me doing 80 kilometres an hour on the motorway, and I'm fairly close to the back of him, not too close, but just there, waiting for an opportunity to pass because there's cars on the inside. But behind me, there's a guy who's sitting with his bumper almost touching my bumper. And I'm getting more annoyed at this guy absolutely tailgating me. And eventually there's a little gap in the traffic and the guy in front of me pulls in and in this gap. And I slowly start to accelerate to get back up to 100. But at that instant, this guy decided he was going past on the inside. So he flies past, he almost hits the back of the car who was in front of me and cuts in front of me and I guess missed me by about that much. And when I'm flashing my lights at him saying, "You idiot!" I sort of imagine Heather sitting next to me going... Yeah, we all feel like that sometimes. Did I love my enemy? I sometimes have a bad attitude when it comes to people doing stupid things on the road. And instead of being relaxed and thinking, "Oh, well..." I'm more likely to cause an accident by doing that sort of stuff because he's then likely to throw his brakes on because he's annoyed at me. And I've got to keep dealing with it. Even those little things that sometimes could have major contributions to the future. And so there's those little things, but there's also the big things. Some of us have big things in our past that really have to be faced if we're going to have the best possible future in God. The best time to deal with those things is today, not necessarily tomorrow. But some of those things will be a process. And some of those things you need to find the right environment to deal with them. And sometimes those things need some professional help to deal with them. It's not a simple prayer. Sometimes God does a miraculous thing, a simple prayer, and it's gone. Other times we've got to work through a process. I'm just wanting to encourage you at the beginning of a new year to think, are there things that hold me back? Things that I've done wrong that I need to get right? Things that I continue to do wrong that I need to address and stop doing? Are there little habits that I need to start thinking about changing so that I can become more and more like Christ? And as we do that, then all those little things, like the guy cutting you off, as simple as that is, will be less and less holding us back, getting us uptight, stopping us from thinking and focusing on the stuff that we should be focusing on so we can accomplish God's purposes. So the first thing then about living free of the past is to deal with those things where we have done something that is wrong, dealing with that stuff. The second thing is, how do we deal with the things where someone's done something wrong to us? The need of forgiveness. Forgiveness sometimes in Christian circles is treated fairly lightly, as if it's just, well, you need to pray and forgive them and forget and get on with it. And sometimes that's appropriate. But oftentimes forgiveness is a real process. Especially for bigger things, sometimes they're not as simple as just praying that simple prayer. And I want to tell you a personal story about a process where lack of forgiveness caused me some significant issues. Quite some years ago, our family, as our girls were growing up, we had a family holiday in Fraser Island. It was we thought we'd have our last family holiday with all the girls together with us because as they're growing up, they're moving off doing different things. So we said, "Oh, we're going camping on Fraser." And, of course, we all want to come. So they all came. We all went off. And one of our daughters said, "I'll come on the condition that I can come back for New Year's Eve back at home with my friends." So I said, okay. So we went. We're having a great holiday, and we put her on the bus. We prayed with her and sent her off with our blessing and trusting God for her. And on that New Year's Eve, our daughter was raped. We got the message the next day. We cancelled all our plans, packed up. It was 3 or 4 days at least, maybe 5 days before we drove and got home to be with her and sort out that stuff. It never went anywhere in terms of anything to do with how the person holding the person accountable, because it was happening in a situation where it was her word against his, and so there was no possible police or court action that was going to be of any effect. And so our daughter didn't want to take it any further, And she just said, I need to just deal with it and get on with my life. And that was her. But for me, I had this amazingly deep, powerful sense of wanting justice. More than justice, I wanted vengeance. I wanted him to pay for what he had done to my daughter. Now, all of those of you who have got kids would know what that would feel like if someone did something like that to your kids. Some of you, that sort of stuff has happened to you. And I went on this journey. And I guess our culture is one of vengeance more than forgiveness. Someone has to pay when something bad happens to you. And we need to see them hurt as much as I'm hurt, and then maybe I can let go of it. Well, the sad truth is that that won't enable you to let go of it. It doesn't help seeing them suffer. Closure doesn't come by them being paid out on more than you've been. Closure comes when you learn to let it go. For quite some time, I had these visions of, I just want the police to turn up on his doorstep. Can we just find out who he is and get the police to go and at least, you know, we know it'll go nowhere, but at least let him know that, you know, people know. Wasn't interested. And then I was sort of thinking, man, if I knew who this guy was, I'd love to turn up on his doorstep with a pair of hedge clippers and I'd deal with him. Leave that to your own imagination. I'm seriously thinking that's the sort of stuff that was going through my head. And here I am, pastoring a church, preaching every Sunday, and I'm dealing with this sort of thoughts and things in my head. And in one part of my head, I'm saying, yeah, I can forgive this guy, you know, I can forgive. But there was another part of me that was just getting deeper and deeper and deeper into a whole lot of unforgiveness stuff. And it was beginning to affect me in a lot of ways. I was beginning to lose my trust in God. And as a pastor, I was becoming less and less confident in praying for people, believing that God could do what he can do in a situation. It was undermining my ministry. It was undermining my personal confidence in God. And it was making me angry inside. And it grew and it grew. And gradually I sort of got over it to some extent. But every time little things had come up, I'd get really angry. And it was to do with this. Anyway, 2 years later, and I was really struggling a bit at this time, I was working for the Baptist Union of Victoria as a regional minister, and I was driving back from a church I'd been consulting with up on the Murray River back through central Victoria, and central Victoria has a Christian radio station. Now, this is on tape, so I won't make my comments on what I think of them. And then it was pretty much a nostalgia for the over 70s or 80s or 90s, really, station. And so I rarely listened to it, but I was flicking for some station I could listen to on this long, slow, late-night trip back home. And I found this radio station was the only one that had a signal, and it was James Dobson. So I thought, oh, well, that's okay. I'll listen to James Dobson. And he and the guy who was there were telling this story about a family whose daughter was raped and murdered, and they actually went in and visited and forgave the guy in prison, and visited him in prison every week. And when he came out of prison, they invited him into their home as their son. And the more I listened to this story, the angrier I got, and the more I thought, this is rubbish. It doesn't work like that. And it got to that point where I was about to turn it off, and I felt God said to me, that's what you need to deal with. Could you ever be in that place? And I had to honestly say, never. I could not be in that place. And then I get totally overwhelmed with God, just, you know, until you can be in that place, you're just going to keep going down the mine. So I pulled up on the side of the road because I couldn't see to drive anymore. Tears were in my eyes. And I sat on the side of the road and I wept and dealt with God. It still gets me emotional because it was such a powerful thing that happened in my life. And at that point, I finally gave up my desire to hurt this guy back, and came to a point where I could actually shake his hand and love this guy, even though what he'd done, and understand that he was a messed up guy who needed Jesus too. And my whole life changed. I had just a weight went off me. I felt so different, and my confidence came back in God. And even though I don't know why God allowed that to happen, but we live in a fallen world and bad things happen to good people, and we've got to deal with it. But I just tell that story because it took me 2 years to get to that point of properly dealing with it. Some of you are dealing with stuff that's been even longer than that. And maybe it's time to just ask God to come in and heal you of the unforgiveness and allow you to let go of what you're holding on to, a desire for vengeance, payback, or whatever. But really it's you who's hurting the most by unforgiveness. You're not going to reach your potential until you fully forgive those who've hurt you. What did Jesus say? Love your enemies. Do good to those who persecute you. Because it's so countercultural. But it's so freeing and releasing that you, if they cannot hurt you by doing bad things to you, then you are resilient. Even on his last breath, what did Jesus say? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Did Jesus need really to forgive them or even ask the Father to forgive them? I don't know that he did. I think he asked for that so that he, in his humanness, would not die with any sense of bitterness towards these people who had treated him so unjustly. You know, in a sense, that's the prayer for everybody who's hurt us. Father, forgive them, because they don't really know what they've done. And sometimes we need to forgive ourselves for those things that we've done that are wrong that we need repentance for. And sometimes we actually need to forgive God for not being who we thought he should be. In fact, he doesn't really need that forgiveness. It's us who need to deal with it. Moving free into the future involves dealing with some of our past. And as I said, some of these things will be a process. If you're on the journey, stay on the journey. If you've never started it, it might be time to start going on that journey of sorting out the things you've done wrong, of working towards true forgiveness of the people who've wronged you and beginning to move forward. God wants us, through life's experiences, to get stronger, not to be undermined and get weaker. The enemy wants to use that stuff to pull us down, bind us up, stop us from doing the stuff that God's got for us to do. God wants you to be free. He sent his son to die for you while you were still a sinner, while you're still messed up. And so therefore he wants you to take the forgiveness that he's got for you and give that to others. And it says in Ephesians 4:32, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another as God in Christ has forgiven you. If God can forgive you all the things that you've done in rebellion to him, can you forgive those who've done the stuff to you that has hurt you? Loving them, forgiving them in ways that will be just so countercultural, so only I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me. Nelson Mandela, who spent 27 years in prison because he worked for justice and equity in the apartheid regime, when he was interviewed and the people, when they came out, said, what kept you going in all that time? And the man that he was with, they all said, Nelson Mandela taught us to forgive. And so we didn't get bitter. We held on to hope. Forgiveness frees you. Might not be instant, but it frees you. It enables you to go forward. If we can love those people who are hurting us, at first it might make them worse and angrier, but in the long run, it shows that in God there is a different future than by human nature, that we can live in a better place. We can be better people, stronger people, more resilient people, and go forward with positive things for the future. So two things out of this morning's message is, yep, look back occasionally and see the past and see the stuff that's there, stuff you can celebrate, stuff you can rejoice in and be thankful for. And thankfulness is another great thing for moving forward, being thankful for all that we do have that's been good. But also check there's some not things in that rearview mirror that we need to address. Is there something sitting on your bumper bar that you need to deal with, waiting to cause a problem? Is it unforgiveness? Is it lack of repentance? And it's really not about me hanging any guilt on you. It's about whether or not God wants to show you some stuff this morning, maybe, that it's really important for you to get on top of if you're going to go forward in a really positive way for this year and for the future, and be able to do all those things that God has got for you. See, Paul, when he wrote this passage that was in our Bible reading, talks about, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ took hold of me. You're a sinner living for yourself, and now Christ's taken hold of you. What has he taken hold of you for? What is the purpose of your life? We talked last week about the big picture, but there's also the specific stuff that you can do that God's got for you to do that might not be great and mighty in the eyes of the world, but it's the stuff that God's taken hold of you for. He's made you for that. He's gifted you for that. He's going to put his Holy Spirit's power in you to do that, whatever that is. And then he says, forgetting what is behind, straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. What is the prize that God is calling you forward to? I think Paul says it somewhere else. He's waiting for the well done, good and faithful servant. Are you going to stand before Jesus and have that confidence to say, by faith I did everything you called me to do. I dealt with the stuff that could have stopped me and I got to where you wanted me to go. Will you win the prize? Will you stand before God and be in that place where you can have some sense of confidence? Yep. It's been a long, hard journey. There's been ups and downs. But I've got here in the way that you wanted me to, Lord. And I did what you called me to do. Let me pray for you. For all of us. Lord, we've all got a past. There's all sorts of stuff that's happened, good and bad. We've had great experiences and seen you do great things, and we've been disappointed and disillusioned. We've been hurt and abused in different situations. And also, we have to confess that we have also hurt and abused others in lots of selfish ways. Often, Lord, too, we've been rebellious to the stuff that you've called us to, making excuses and not willing to deal with the stuff that holds us back. I pray this morning as we look at moving forward without the weight of the past, your Holy Spirit might speak to each one of us if there's stuff that we need to deal with, and give us wisdom and insight as to how we can deal with that we can face and those things and move forward, whether it be a prayer of confession today or a long process. I pray that you start us on that journey of being free of the weight of the past so we can run forward in complete freedom and accomplish the plans and purposes you've got for us and win the prize, standing before you with a life that's been fulfilled. We ask this in the mighty, powerful name of Jesus. Amen. I mean, Donnie and I and others would be more than happy to pray for you if there's something that God's spoken to you about this morning and you would just like someone to pray with you on that. But some of these things are deep and personal, and you may need just to go home and in your own private place and space, deal with God. And also, maybe if it's a big thing, I would really encourage you to get some professional help if you need it. Be everything God wants you to be. Don't let any of these things bind you, hold you up, and stop you from accomplishing that. And it doesn't matter whether you're young or old, God wants you to be free and doing his stuff. So God bless you, and may this be a great year of freedom.